Hello and welcome to another Revisiting Old Favourites podcast in the Inner Sanctum. Thanks as always for joining me. And we return, not just joining me, of course, you're joining Hilaire Belloc as we return to our pilgrimage. We remember last week the defeat on the peak of the mountain, and it's not just a physical defeat, there's a metaphysical defeat which is actually edifying. In other words, it's Belloc's pride that was broken on the mountain as he sought to make the glorious traverse over the peak of the mountains rather than taking the mundane, worldly tourist route around them. Now, however, having been defeated, that he now has no choice but to take that mundane tourist route, the path of humility. And for a while, he's in a sort of sullen sulk. But as we see, he crosses the border into Italy, and its many churches and great Christian culture. So, without further ado, let's continue and resume. I had not the money to wait. My defeat had lowered me in purse as well as in heart. I started off to enter by the ordinary gates, not Italy even, but a half Italy, the canton of the Ticino. It was very hard. This book is not a tragedy, and I will not write at any length of such pain. That same day, in the latter half of it, I went suddenly over the Furka, exactly as easy a thing as going up St. James's Street and down Piccadilly. I found the same storm on its summit, but on a high road it was a different affair. I took no shortcuts. I drank at all the inns, at the base, halfway up, near the top, and at the top. I told them, as the snow beat past, how I had attacked and all but conquered the Greece that wild morning, and they took me for a liar. So I became silent, even within my own mind. I looked suddenly at the white ground all the way, and when on the far side I had got low enough to be rid of the snow and wind, and to be in the dripping rain again. I welcomed the rain, and let it soothe, like a sodden friend, my sodden, uncongenial mind. I will not write of Hospenthal. It has an old tower, and the road to it is straight and hideous. Much I cared for the old tower. The people of the inn, which I chose at random, cannot have loved me much. I will not write of the St. Gotthard. Get it out of a guidebook. I rose when I felt inclined. I was delighted to find it still raining. A dense mist above the rain gave me still greater pleasure. I had started quite at my leisure, late in the day, and I did the thing stolidly, and my heart was like a dully heated mass of coal or iron, because I was acknowledging defeat. You who have never taken a straight line and held it, nor seen strange men and remote places, you do not know what it is to have to go round by the common way. Only in the afternoon, and on those little zigzags, which are sharper than any other in the Alps, perhaps the road is older, something changed. A warm air stirred the dense mist, which had mercifully cut me off from anything but the mere road and from the contemplation of hackneyed sights. A hint or memory of gracious things ran in the slight breeze. The wreaths of fog would lift a little for a few yards, and in their clearings I thought to approach a softer and more desirable world. I was soothed as though with caresses, and when I began to see somewhat farther and felt a vigour and fullness in the outline of the trees, I said to myself suddenly, I know what it is. It is the south, and a great part of my blood. They may call it Switzerland still, but I know now that I am in Italy, and this is the gate of Italy, lying in groves. Then and on till evening I reconciled myself with misfortune, and what I heard again at Airolo, the speech of civilized men, and saw the strong Latin eyes and straight forms of the race after all those days of fog and frost and German speech and the North, my eyes filled with tears. And I was as glad as a man come home again, and I could have kissed the ground. The wine of Airolo and its songs, how greatly they refreshed me, to see men with answering eyes, to find a salute returned, the noise of careless mouths talking altogether, the group at cards, and the laughter that is proper to mankind, the straight carriage of the women, and in all the people something erect and noble, as though, indeed, they possessed the earth. I made a meal there, talking to all my companions left and right in a new speech of my own, which was made up, as it were, of the essence of all the Latin tongues, saying, Ha! Si io attraversa li montagna no erat facile, neni, il sangotado nil est, puh poco, ma hasterna io ha rulo, traversa in val bavona, e credi non ritorna, nam Fredo, Fredo erat in alto, la torment ma pris, and so forth, explaining all fully with gestures, exaggerating, emphasizing, and acting the whole matter, so that they understood me without much error. But I found it more difficult to understand them, because they had a regular formed language with terminations and special words. It went to my heart to offer them no wine, but a thought was in me, of which you shall soon hear more. My money was running low, and the chief anxiety of a civilized man was spreading over my mind like the shadow of a cloud over a field of corn in summer. They gave me a number of good nights, and at parting I could not forbear from boasting that I was a pilgrim on my way to Rome. This they repeated one to another, and one man told me that the next good halting place was a town called Fado, 3 hours down the road. He held up three fingers to explain, and that was the last intercourse I had with the Aerolians, for at once I took the road. I glanced up the dark ravine, which I should have descended had I crossed the Lufenon. I thought of the Val Bavona, only just over the great wall that held the west, and in one place where a rift, you have just seen this picture, led up to the summits of the hills. I was half tempted to go back to Airolo and sleep, and next morning to attempt a crossing. But I had accepted my fate on the Greece, and the falling road also held me, and so I continued my way. Everything was pleasing in this new valley under the sunlight that still came strongly from behind the enormous mountains. Everything also was new, and I was evidently now in a country of a special kind. The slopes were populous. I had come to the great mother of fruits and men, and I was soon to see her cities and her old walls and the rivers that glide by them. Church towers also repeated the same shapes up and up the wooded hills until the villages stopped at the line of the higher slopes and at the patches of snow. The houses were square and coloured. They were graced with arbours, and there seemed to be all around nothing but what was reasonable and secure, and especially no rich or poor. I noticed all these things on the one side and the other till, not 2 hours from Airolo, I came to a step in the valley, for the valley of the Ticino is made up of distinct levels, each of which might have held a lake once for the way it is enclosed, and each level ends in high rocks with a gorge between them. Down this gorge the river tumbles in falls and rapids, and the road picks its way down steeply, all banked and cut, and sometimes has to cross from side to side by a bridge, while the railway above one overcomes the sharp ascent by running round into the heart of the hills through circular tunnels and coming out again far below the cavern where it plunged in. Then, when all three, the river, the road, and the railway, have got over the great step, a new level of the valley opens. This is the way the road comes into the south, and as I pass down to the lower valley, Though it was darkening into evening, something melted out of the mountain air. There was content and warmth in the growing things, and I found it was a place for vineyards. So, before it was yet dark, I came into Phaedo, and there I slept, having at last, after so many adventures, crossed the threshold and occupied Italy. Next day, before sunrise, I set out, and all the valley was adorned and tremulous with the films of morning. And there we should leave Belloc, having moved from German-speaking Switzerland to Italian-speaking Switzerland on his path to Rome. Thanks so much, as always, for joining me. Please do join me next week as we continue our pilgrimage with Belloc. Until then, goodbye and God bless.